Well, I've got an encouraging word today. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. May God bless the reading of his word. I am reading from a portion in Isaiah that is declaring the comfort of Zion. This is a good message. Isaiah was speaking to a people who, because of their own sin, and had exiled themselves from God's favor. They'd had ups and downs. They'd shot themselves in the foot so many times. But finally, God was declaring a completion to their suffering, an ending to all of their exile. And yet in the midst of declaring his glory, and he literally, this is a verse that talks about the coming of John the Baptist, the voice that would cry in the wilderness, who would introduce the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a positive message of comfort. And then right in the middle, verse 5 says, all the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it. But then in the very next phrase, we have a strange statement. Cry unto the people, all flesh is as grass that withereth and as the flower that fadeth. Well, what a negative word. And notice it says, and the Spirit of God breathed upon the grass and the flowers, and they withered. We're going to talk a very interesting word today. It's called the withering work of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that there is an act of God that precedes every move of God, and it is the withering work of the Holy Spirit? In this text, before comfort comes, before the glory of the Lord is revealed, there is a withering of all flesh that would dare try to glory in itself. Did you know before the Lord sends his glory, he sends an amazing work of his Spirit, and it's called the withering work of the Holy Spirit. He causes anything that is still in you of flesh to wither. The Holy Spirit in this verse himself breathes upon the grass and the flowers, and they wither. And it's the imagery of your mortality. It's the imagery of something that was green that is dying, something that was beautiful that is becoming ugly. Have you noticed you live in an earth suit, and have you noticed things are decaying? Anything rooted in this world? De Gaulle once said, treaties are like roses and young women. They last while they last. Have you noticed degeneration happening in your body? Have you noticed your strength is waning a bit? Have you noticed your gait is... Now, we live in a culture that says, buy this cream and you can reverse. No, you can't. It's not working, honey. Put your $40 in the offering. I hate to be... You cannot fight entropy. We alive right now are decaying. Anything that is born of the flesh goes the way of the flesh. Now hear my message. The Holy Spirit is doing a work right now in the world, in the body of Christ, and in our hearts that we must understand appropriately, or we're going to misread it. Before God sends his glory, he sends his Spirit to destroy any flesh that is still predominant in our life. Now, what is flesh? It's not the meat and bones. When the Bible talks about the flesh warring against the spirit, we're not talking about your privates. We're not talking about your body parts. We're not talking about the internal organs. We're talking about a principle of self-will. I'll do it my way on my terms, God. And if you don't line up to my will, you ever run your life according to your own militant flesh? Have you ever wanted it your way. Have it your way. Have it your way. The whole culture says, you don't need to get old. You shouldn't be unhappy. You should never be empty. You should never have anything go contrary to your wishes. Au contraire, there is a withering work of the Holy Spirit that is going on right now. He's breathing upon all of our relationships in order to test and see what in those relationships is rooted in pride and flesh. The flesh problem as Christians that we have is not the bag of bones we carry around. At best, our body parts are instruments of our carnal nature. They aren't our carnal nature. You know, as a Christian, it's like a cup of tea. You know, the tea is not the water, and the water's not the tea, but the tea is in the water. When you're born again, your spiritual nature is renewed. You stand legal in right standing with God. But if you've noticed, there's still a civil war going on inside you. It's a constant daily struggle to get our way done and our will done, and we are always fueled with a personal self-interest that the Bible calls the flesh. Now, before God pours out His glory and His comfort, He always brings the withering work of the Spirit. Now, listen to me, because you may misread this when it comes to your own life. I feel with all my heart that God has been doing a withering work. He's been breathing upon our, first of all, us, showing us the degree of sin that is in our lives. Did you know that you can never want a Savior till you know you're a sinner? Oh, yeah. It's the withering work of the Holy Spirit that comes to you to show you that your righteousness is as filthy rags, to put you in a context where you see your holiness as a sham, where you realize that you don't have a few things wrong, you are utterly undone. That is the withering work of the Holy Spirit. He always comes to the waiting heart. Before He gives salvation, He creates a need for salvation, a hunger for salvation. He doesn't just breathe upon us who we are to show us that we're sinners in need of help, but He's even breathing upon our talents and our gifts. He'll even breathe upon and wither whatever is of the flesh in your talents. You just can't succeed. There's just nothing you can do the way you've been doing it that is successful. That's a withering work of the Holy Spirit. He'll even breathe upon your relationships. And all of a sudden, things start dying. Well, I thought that was green. Now it's not now. I thought that flower was going to last forever. It just dropped off. It's going the way of all flesh. You know, there's something about us that wants to cling to our way and our will unto death. And the Lord says, no, I'm God. You're not. Holy Spirit, you need to do a withering work. You know, before God heals, He wounds. Before He raises from the dead, He kills. Before He clothes you, He strips you. Before He fills you, He empties you. This is the order of the Bible. There is a work. Now, this isn't punishment. Oh, this sounds like a negative mess. No, no, this isn't. If you were punished, you'd be dead and in hell right now. That's punishment. This is an answer to your prayers. This is when you say, Lord, take my life, take my gifts, take my abilities, and I want only your will done in my life. Then guess what happens? The withering work of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God begins to come to consume all the wood, hand, stubble in you, all the wood, hand, stubble of flesh in your relationships, all the wood, hand, stubble in your talent, your gift, your ability, your dream, your hope. It just, it's like a blast goes through. Now, someone says, I'm going to rebuke the devil. I'm not talking about the devil today. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. He's the one that breathes upon and assassinates flesh. It's not the devil who's killing your flesh. He doesn't want your flesh dead. The devil feeds your flesh. The devil, he's feeding your self-will. He's saying, eat, my precious, eat. Do you remember in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that Noah sent out two birds. After the flood, he sent a raven out, which never came back, and he sent a dove out that did come back to alight upon the ark. What does that mean? Well, they wanted to see where the status was with regard to where they were, and they sent a raven out, an unclean bird, and of course he found the first bloated carrion, and that flesh that he could see landed on it and gorged himself and never came back. You see, the only good flesh is dead flesh. That which comes from the flesh goes the way of the flesh. Our self-will will be withered. And you don't want to misread the withering. What I'm talking about, the withering anointing of the Holy Spirit, He is right now doing what I'm saying. But it isn't judgment. There's nothing wrong. In fact, it's an answer to our prayers. We say, Lord, purify me. He says, okay. And He blows in His withering work, you know, Lord, breathe upon this relationship and anything of it that's of you, let it be revealed. Guess what? He'll do His withering work, blow on it, and all of a sudden what's green turns dead and you go, hey, wait a minute. See, there was more flesh in that than you thought. There was more flesh in that desire you had for yourself or that talent or ability that God gave you. And so he always breaks up the ground before he plants the seed. Look through the Bible. It's his order. From Genesis on, first there was chaos and the cosmos was brought out of the chaos. First Adam and Eve sinned, Genesis 3:16. God declared the judgment upon them. Then he brought them the salvation. First, they tried to take fig leaves and clothe themselves, and when that didn't work and was a failure, he then slew the animal and gave them the proper skins for their covering. First, with Noah, God declared the judgment, and then he brought the ark and the salvation. That's the withering work of the Holy Spirit. He goes before our lives, our destinies, and our talents. He breathes upon all of those things, and whatever is wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burned up. Now, this is good news because we don't want mixture in our lives. We don't want mixture in our relationships anymore. That means partly good, partly bad. Well, that's 60% God, 20% me, and what, the devil? How much a part of the... We don't want mixture. We want gold that's purified. And God is coming now with his fire, and it's the withering work of the Holy Spirit. And he's not trying to destroy you, and he's not being negative. He's so negative. He's not being negative. This is all a plus. He's bringing a total understanding of what is fleshly and what is of his spirit. And you know, whatever it is, let's hold it up to God and say, Lord, let whatever can survive the fire, survive the fire. But if you burn it, if I hand you a relationship that's 60% God and 40% the devil, consume the wood, hay, and stubble and give me what's left. Or maybe the whole thing gets consumed. But we need to submit ourselves to God. You know, it's interesting. Divine comfort and glory cannot come until first the Lord does his withering work. He's doing this in the body of Christ right now. I don't know if you've noticed it, but he is allowing us to see what we are. You know, the withering work of the Holy Spirit occurs in two categories. First, with regard to our salvation. Secondly, with regard to our ministries. Before you can be saved, you have to know you're a sinner. You know, sometimes we cry out to God and we go, Lord, help me. And he goes, okay. And he shows you how vile you are. He turns your righteousness into filthy rags. He puts you in a circumstance where you'll do unspeakable things you never dreamt that you could conceivably do. And he's actually answering your prayer for salvation, which is first he's got to show you that you really, really are a sinner. See, if you preach Christ to someone that thinks they're okay, and there's no hole for the salvation to, there's no vacuum for the salvation to enter, the water will just fall and run off. It'll just run off. It's useless. Have you ever tried to share Christ with someone who thinks they're sufficient in their own pride, who thinks they're full in their own flesh, who thinks they don't need God? The message is wasted. God will cause a vacuum to occur so that that emptiness will be open to receive fullness. So the first time the withering work of the Holy Spirit happens is when you try to reach out to God and you try to pray and you try to surrender to him, you will find that first you have to realize how lost you are. John Newton once said, all I know is two things. He's a great Savior and I'm a great sinner. You know, that's the truth. Now, you can say you're a sinner, but not really because you're comparing yourself to others that have done worse things than you. No, you have to come to a point where the withering work of the Holy Spirit so breathes upon you that all flesh in you, all that you really are, is seen and brought full center. And you know what? People that get saved too easily, they can stay babies forever. You know why? Because they really didn't realize how undone they were. Oh, they got their fire insurance. They accepted Jesus. But they really didn't see what vile little dogs they are. You wicked beast. If you think you're okay, wait till circumstances begin in the withering work of the Holy Spirit. You will find you, when you pass judgment on others, watch out. God will put you in the same circumstance and you'll hair lip anything they did. You see, before you can be saved, the Spirit, it's not the devil, it's God breathing upon you and showing you all the flesh that's still there, the self-will that's still there, the self-righteousness that you trust in. Well, I'm not as bad as them, and thank God we are not as they. And God will reduce you to spiritual penury, where you will say with Isaiah, I am undone. When you're undone and that flesh is consumed, salvation comes. See, he wounds before he heals. He strips before he clothes you. He empties you before he fills you. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it isn't a punishment. It's a glorious work to embrace. We need to embrace the withering work of the Holy Spirit. Say, come on, fire, come on. I've lasted this long, and I really want to do it right. Consume all the wood, hand, stubble, reveal all the flesh in me. Now, why do things wither? Because they're witherable. Why does the grass fade? Why do the flowers drop off? Because it is in their nature to fade. It's in their nature to wither. There are some things in us of the flesh, of our own willfulness, that are born to die. And God just speeds the work up by bringing a little fire in. See, he's about to move in such a profound way that we can't have any mixture in our friendships, our relationships, can't have any mixture in our understanding of our destiny, can't have any flesh that's dominating our dreams, our desires, our wants. And it doesn't mean you can't have anything good. It means that the withering work of the Spirit is here now to make sure that we truly see who we are. When we see that we're sinners, fully and completely, salvation is given. But the withering work of the Spirit is also happening in our ministries. That means what you're called to do and how you're called to do it. I've been in ministry for 34 years now, and I didn't understand it, but only recently the Lord has been using this metaphor with me saying, Craig, I've been working my withering work in you for years. Sometimes, see, if you misread the withering work of the Holy Spirit, you're going to think someone's under judgment. You're going to think there's something wrong with somebody. You're going to think they're having a nervous breakdown. You're going to think that there's something desperate about the situation. No, when the Holy Spirit comes into your ministry and he blows on it in order to destroy any vestige of your flesh, that looks like an awful lot of things. You don't look well, baby. And you're sick at heart, and nothing you do, the way you do it, succeeds, and nothing seems to be fruitful. The Lord is just blowing upon all that is flesh and saying, you know what? Not by might. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit. Let me just go in, and let me do my withering work, and I'll pull down and tear out in order that you can plant and build. Charles Spurgeon said, God never builds a new thing on an old foundation. He tears the old out to bring the new. And it is the withering work of the Spirit that is doing this. Now, flesh, the devil, I've often said the devil is a snake in Genesis and he's a dragon in Revelation. Someone's feeding him. And he feeds on our flesh. He feeds on our self-will. He feeds on us making ourselves his instruments in the world. When you're selfish and self-focused, the devil puts you on like a glove. Well, I'm not possessed. It's worse than that. You're a garment he can put on at will to go and sow division in somebody's marriage, to go out there and put bitterness in somebody's heart, to go and wound their self-esteem with your words. Loved one, you don't need to be spitting up green pea soup and your head falling around or in circles to be the tool of the devil in somebody's life. Ladies, he can lead you right into somebody's marriage and break that marriage up. Gentlemen, he can bring you right in and destroy that family right there. Well, I didn't mean to. Yeah, you didn't mean to. Well, it wasn't my intent. Yeah, it doesn't matter what your intent is. I use the example, if I back over my daughter's left leg, I didn't mean to. I'd never hurt her. Oh, it's never been in my heart to ever hurt my baby. I'd never hurt my baby. Well, get out of the car and do something about it. Whether you meant to or not, the leg's broken. Tend to it. We have a lot of over-exaggeration on motive. Motives are important, but they're not everything. I didn't mean to break up that marriage. Well, then what were you doing in that nightclub with that married man? Well, I didn't mean to dance like that, and I didn't mean to go to the hotel with him, and I didn't mean to, Loved one, listen, whatever is of the self-will of our flesh will be revealed by the withering work of the Holy Spirit. Don't worry. If you're not a Christian right now, and you think that you're okay, and all religions are equally true, and you're better than Manson and his family, and you're comparing yourself with Hitler and looking really good, that's fine. God has nothing to say to you, and this message has nothing to say to you. But I promise you, when the Spirit of God blows upon all the flesh in your life, you will one day see that your righteousness is filthy rags, that your holiness is a sham, that your view of religion is only external ceremony, and it's all fruitless before God. You must know you're a sinner before you can be saved. And in the ministry, conversely, in the ministry, we have to do not only the right thing God's called us to do, but we have to do it the right way. We have to use the right means. And God will even blow on your ministry in a withering work and consume the wood, hand, stubble of how you're doing the right thing. If you do the right thing the wrong way, it's the wrong thing. Right? You've got to do the right thing in the right way with the right motive, and then it's anointed by God and you move forward. I've been involved in a withering work of the Holy Spirit for years, and I thought he was judging me. I thought, oh my God, what could I possibly have done? And how many of you know you got plenty in your thought life alone that you could say, well, that was it, or look at your past, well, it was certainly that. Loved one, you've got sin in word, thought, and deed, and you will until you're raptured or you die. The devil is not in control. God is in control. Remember, he feeds on your flesh like that raven. He gorges himself when we are full of self-will. But it is the Holy Spirit who breathes upon us and consumes the wood, hay, and stubble. Take heart right now. Take heart. Beauty fades. Strength wanes. Wealth can disappear in a moment. And it's usually God behind the scenes answering your prayer and your heart and your need by breathing upon you and causing the flesh to wither, breathing upon your relationships, causing them to wither. Well, nothing just seems to work. Well, let's try it God's way. What an idea. Let the light bulb go off. Really, we've seen what you can do, what the devil can do. I wonder if the Lord could do a proper relational thing in your life. Let's give him control. What an idea. See, that's the withering work of the Holy Spirit. But first, you got to see that you're desperate in the relational area. You've got to have so many failures that if you have one more failure, you're going to just die of a heart attack. Then you're ready and you're open and you're teachable. And, you know, but that's because God has breathed upon the flesh and the grass is withered in that area of your own self-confidence, your own self-righteousness, and your pride is humbled. And then you come humbly. You know, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, it's a very interesting place. It has a little small cave door. You have to bow down and crawl in, whether you're a king, whether you're a pope, whether you're a pauper. Everybody goes in the same way. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. It's a narrow gate. You can't take a lot of baggage. You will bow or you will not go through. And while I was climbing through that little portico, I thought, you know how many great people have had to look like a fool, just like I look right now. See, the withering work of the Holy Spirit will humble you to a place that you're left with utter emotional penury, spiritual penury. You have had a breakdown, but it's a good breakdown. It's allowing the fire of God to consume all of the wood and the hay and the stubble. And you know what? Guess what? Everything we have that is rooted in this world is going to fade. Listen to what John Newton says, the man who is the author of Amazing Grace, as he speaks about this process of the withering work of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Newton said, I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. 'Twas he who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered prayer. But it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hoped that in some favored hour at once he'd answer my request, and by his love's constraining power subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Unquote. Loved one, the withering of the Holy Spirit is a necessary work. He must breathe upon us first to show us that we're sinners in order that our pride and flesh will go out the window and we lean utterly on him. He'll breathe in his withering work upon your ministry and your destiny and your talents, gifts, and abilities that he can again reveal and destroy any flesh that is standing in the way of you and the fulfillment God has for you. It's a necessary work. But secondly, it's a painful work. It's a painful work. Nobody wants to part with their flesh. Nobody wants to part with their own sweet will. Nobody wants to give up their cherished control of life. But it's a necessary work that he would wither that in us. It's a painful work, but it's a complete work. Notice the text says the grass will fade completely. The flower will die and fall off completely. God has a way by the power of his Holy Spirit to utterly slay the flesh. The devil can't do it. He won't do it. He's trying to feed your self-will. He's trying to feed your self-righteousness. And I want to close with this. Isaiah 40 talks about the ministry of John the Baptist. What did John do? He appeared in the desert, the waste place, was burying people in baptism, was a scourge himself of all pride. He spoke against all the pomp and religiosity of Jerusalem. When the Pharisees came down, they said, "We are of Abraham." And he said, "God could raise up children of Abraham from these stones in the ground. You repent." There was a withering work of the Spirit of God through John, which plucked down, tore down, laid an axe to the roots, and prophesied of Messiah, who would thoroughly scourge his floor with fire and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. John the Baptist was himself a withering work of the Holy Spirit, cutting down human self-righteousness, human self-will, because whatever God does is not by our might in the flesh. It's not going to be brought about by our power in the flesh. It's going to be brought about by his Holy Spirit. He gets all the glory. No flesh shall glory in his presence. We are standing on the brink of the greatest outpouring of God in human history, but first, before that glory is poured out, the Spirit of God is visiting all of us now in our marriages, our homes, our families, our relationships, ourselves, our talents, our gifts, our abilities, and he's bringing the withering work of his Spirit not to harm us, but to deliver us. Let's submit to that work. The Spirit is blowing on us right now. And you know what? Let the fire hit this church and let him do all the cleansing he wants to do. I want all the wood hand stubble gone. I want only the gold and silver left that can be purified. Say that about your relationships. Lord, consume the wood hand stubble. Leave the gold and silver. Loved one, gold and silver are not afraid of fire. The straw man was afraid of fire. The tin man was not afraid of fire. There are valuable things in your talents, gifts, and abilities, your destiny, your future, your past. But after the withering work of the Spirit is done and all flesh is laid bare, that's when we'll see. Oh, there's the gold. There's the silver. Let's build with some precious materials. Amen? I want us to pray right now. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, right now we submit to the breath of the Holy Spirit upon us in his withering work. Oh, Lord, we lift everything. We lift ourselves to you, first of all. Consume all pride and self-righteousness and self-will and false holiness in us to show us we're sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we bow before you, utterly undone and in need of salvation, Lord. We are the sick who require a physician. Lord, we lay our lives and our relationships and our families and our ministries and our work life before you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, breathe upon even these dimensions of our life. Reveal what is fleshly and reveal what is unpleasing, not pleasing to you. And consume it, Lord, and sweep it out of the way so that your glory will come to us. Your salvation will fully come to us. Your anointing will fully come and rest upon us. And for those watching, we pray, Lord, for an equal submission to the withering work of the Holy Spirit, that you will comfort everyone to let them know that there's hope, that after the scourging and the cleansing and the consuming of pride and the consuming of wood, hand, stubble, gold and silver will be left. Lord, we pray that we will see your glory, as Isaiah chapter 40 said, and we will see it to the ends of the earth in Jesus' name. Give the Lord some praise right now, would you? Give him some praise right now. Give him some praise. Well, that didn't hurt, did it? A little bit. Yes, it did. It's a good, it hurt so good. I want you to.